Everyone to the Fearless Wandering podcast, our every other week live stream where we're here to talk about all the latest news and news and entertainment, or latest news in film and entertainment, I should say. And we're excited to be here. So, welcome. I'm one of your hosts, Trent Powell, joined by my other host, Tobias Powell. How are you?
Doing great. Yep, doing great. sad to be here. As always, and yeah,
absolutely.
Let's get started.
Yeah, let's move on. Move into it. Yeah, there's, kind of slow. It's been interesting. This year is going to be crazy. I think there's a lot of movies, and it's going to be really interesting to see the trajectory of movies going forward after this year, because the last couple of years has kind of been a dud, especially last year. The movie The Sinners is the highest, is the most nominated film in Hollywood. There probably wasn't much there. I don't even know how many movies made $1 billion last year. It wasn't very many. Disney probably had a couple, and of course, the fifth, tenth Avatar. I don't know how many Avatar movies. I stopped after one. It's gonna be interesting this year because it's kind of a stacked lineup of films,
a lot of blockbusters,
big movies
for sure.
But one that's coming out this year, actually, you know what? Let's ask this about, like, what are your three most anticipated films for this year? And it doesn't have to necessarily mean, like, oh, I'm so excited to see this movie. Like, it's going to be the best movie ever, best movie of the year. Like, three movies that you're least interested in seeing or interested to see how they handle these
things. Yeah, there's a few that I'm keeping my eye on that I'm curious what's going to happen. Curious what these studios, how they're going to react to the last few years. I mean, how are they going to react to a lot of flops, a lot of failures, a lot of just people not really being interested in going to see movies in theaters that they've been producing and putting a lot of money into. First would be The Odyssey. I want to see, of course, what Christopher Nolan does with that, what his vision's going to end up being, and how he's just going to handle that, and then I want to see the new Avengers movie, Doomsday. It's been years since was it 2019 that we got Endgame?
I think so.
So 7 years. I'm curious how. I mean, we've kind of gotten a little glimpse of their ideas in the trailers of where they're going with that. Just how they're going to react to just all the slop that they've been putting out, and how the fans have not been a fan of it. And then...
Let's see what happens after, like, having pushed away their main audience.
Yeah.
The audience absolutely. That really built the company.
Yeah.
They really built the MCU. And it'd be interesting to see if they're coming back.
Yeah.
After being pushed away and mocked and spat on.
Yeah, for sure. And then I want to see... I don't know. I'm interested to see, because Spider-Man's coming out this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like this summer.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure. Yeah.
I haven't seen a trailer for it or anything. But
yeah. I want to see what they do with Spider-Man, of course, being one of my favorite superheroes. Seeing where they go with him. There's a lot of different directions they could go with this movie. I've heard a lot of different things over since the last Spider-Man movie came out of where they're going to be going with it. So seeing that
I pretty much would agree with all those. As far as I'm very curious to see what they do, and if they move the needle at all.
Yeah, they learn from any of their mistakes.
I've heard that Doomsday is basically a direct sequel to Endgame. Which means they're mostly ignoring the last
seven years. Yeah.
Which they kind of have to, because it's been unprofitable and they've lost their audience. No one cares about anything. I mean, they pushed away their main audience, mm-hmm. you know, which is mostly white men. Mm-hmm. Not even just white men, just men in general.
Yeah.
They pushed away men because they did so by uplifting their female superheroes, and, you know, and of course they have their race swaps, and which they actually always had done, but most part, you know, they just uplifted their female superheroes, and then what did they do in return on the other side? Is they pushed down their male heroes.
Yeah.
They pushed them down, made them effeminate, weak, whiny, they made them the damsels in distress, pretty much.
And they needed their strong, independent female characters to take their place.
Yeah. And that's what they always have to do. They have to uplift the females and then push down the males. That's the story of the sequel trilogy of Star Wars. They had to, in order to uplift Mary Sue Ray, they had to push down all the male heroes. They had to turn Luke into a failed mentor teacher. They had to make Han Solo a deadbeat dad, and who knows where Lando was off, whatever. I guess he showed up in the third one.
Yeah.
Even the male characters that they created, like Finn and Poe, like they just... Poe was a reckless, hothead, mm-hmm. And Finn just got pushed to the sidelines. You know, all these male heroes had to be pushed down in order for Rey to be lifted up as the greatest thing ever.
Yep.
And that's what we see with superheroes. We see with most franchises, most movies, is in order to uplift the females, they have to push down the males. And
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Doomsday.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like the, you know, bringing everything that they've created together and paving a path forward.
Yeah.
Can they pave a path forward that's worth following? And are people going to walk down that path? Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll make money. Like, I think a lot of people are going to see it.
I think it's going to be another billion-dollar movie for sure.
Yeah, which might help them break even.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. Is this budget, the budget's gonna be insane with all the actors that they're paying and everything, and the reported budget's already like well above like 500,000.
Yeah. Or 500 I wouldn't million. Be surprised if they're pushing 700,000
million.
Million.
Yeah. 700 million. Yeah. I'm sure that it's probably gonna be upwards of that, which in order to break even on a $700 million budget, let's not factor in marketing. $700 million film budget. I think you have to make probably $1.4 billion. Because you have to double, basically, because mm-hmm. of the money that goes to the movie theaters. Like, the studio only gets about half. It's even worse when you go overseas, which is where they make most of the money. You're not bringing back. You're not bringing in $1 billion on $1 billion box office. Like, you're only getting a portion of that. And so, in order for them to break even, like, they have to have an insane success. But like I said, they've pushed away most of their audience, so people are gonna come see it. I have no idea. So, anyways, didn't plan on talking about Doomsday a lot, but there's that. Spider-Man will be interesting.
They'd have to make basically $2 billion to break even.
Pretty much. And I think right now the highest budgeted film of all time, I'm pretty sure, is The Rise of Skywalker, which was like $500 million or something like that. Like, the biggest budget on any film. It might even be more than that.
Rise of Skywalker.
The third one.
Yeah, I guess.
It was ridiculous. And the movie was awful. But mostly because they like had to like restart, like they like went with the they threw out the old script, got rid of the director, brought in J.J. Abrams, and just kind of started from scratch. And they put way too much money in it because they needed to hit a home run somehow, and they definitely did not do that.
because there was
diminishing returns on all three movies. Mm-hmm. The Force Awakens made $2 billion. Last Skywalker made like 1.5, and then Rise of Skywalker I think barely made $1 billion. So, anyways. Spider-Man, we'll see. It might be fun, hopefully. Though I don't really care. I am gonna see it, and I'm ready to be surprised. I think there's potential there. I think hopefully Zendaya's character is sidelined.
I was disappointed that she's coming back at all.
Well, yeah, and and then hopefully, you know, they actually give Peter more of an arc and like more of a journey that he has to actually go on in that.
Yeah, and he has to be independent. Yeah, and that's something that was severely missed in all the other ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. If I were to say my three, it'd be The Odyssey, which we'll talk about in a minute. Doomsday, and then Spider-Man or Dune Part 3. Dune Part 3 is coming at the end of the year. It's supposed to come out actually the same day as Doomsday. Dune Part 3, I'm a big Dune fan. I'm really interested in how they handle Dune Messiah.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of high hopes just because as time's gone on, I think the first two movies are a little bit overrated, though I think they are... They're really good films in and of themselves. I think the first one's should get more credit than it does. I think the second one's really good. It's just Zendaya's character has so many problems with. We've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
I think she really discolors the film in a lot of ways. But I think visually, on cinematic level, and on a story level, I think what they do with Paul and how Timothée Chalamet, you know, plays that character, I think was really good. And Fade Rautha and everything. Like, I think he... You know, and what's his name, Anthony Butler or whatever his name is, who played the villain in the movie, he did a great job.
Anthony Butler,
he played Elvis,
yep,
in the Elvis biopic.
Yeah,
anyways,
Austin
Butler.
Yeah
you're right. So anyways, I'm curious to see what they do with the third film. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of potential there. Zendaya seems to be the problem here, with she's, probably being a brand new day, Dune Part 3, and then Zendaya is also in The Odyssey. So she's in a lot of movies this year. Probably going to be like the highest paid actor this year, probably, or the highest grossing actor.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. Robert Downey Jr. is going to be the highest paid actor this year. His payday for Doomsday is going to be insane.
Yeah.
Anyways, so The Odyssey, Tobias. What do you think about The Odyssey? What do you think about Christopher Nolan taking on this grand epic of Homer's Odyssey?
Yeah, I mean, I've had conversations with other guys and asking like who would be, you know, a better, like, if there was a director that you'd rather have than him, who would it be? A few guys come to mind, but I mean, Christopher Nolan back in his heyday, I mean, that's who you'd want. I mean, but the more I've seen and the more that's come out about this movie, I have no high hopes, especially some of the casting, starting with Zendaya and her role. I'm not expecting much out of this film.
Yeah, kind of same. I'm baffled by the casting and just how could it be this bad?
Yeah.
You got Zendaya playing Athena.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I don't know if that's confirmed. It has been confirmed. But anyways, yeah, playing Athena. You got the most recent teaser TV spot that they released was featuring Travis Scott, who is a rapper. I don't know much about him. I think he dated Kardashian or something. But he's a black rapper. Well known in that world.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense for The Odyssey.
Yeah, no.
and it's not an actor, as far as I know. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense, like, why you cast someone like that. Though Christopher Nolan's been known to that. Like, he cast David Bowie in The Prestige as Nikola Tesla. He's casted Harry Styles in Dunkirk. You know, so he's been known to like cast like superstars, right. But for the Odyssey, you know, someone like Travis Scott is not. He does not fit for this world, this story.
No.
Doesn't make any sense. Lupita Nyong, I know I butchered her name, but she's another actress that's supposedly playing Helen of Troy. So she's like in the new Quiet Place movie. She's in Black Panther, I think. And she's apparently playing Helen of Troy, who's supposed to be, you know, blonde hair, blue-eyed,
yeah,
the most beautiful woman in the world, in you know, ever. You know, she's for some reason they decided to cast her. It could be it's not confirmed, so it could be wrong. But yeah, because that totally makes sense. You know, she's described, Helen of Troy is described as the most beautiful woman in the world, a divine-looking figure with golden hair, fair skin, and radiant features. Sorry, Lupita, no offense to you. That's not. It's not you. As far as a character that's being portrayed by an actor, doesn't fit, doesn't work.
Oh yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
And the same issues with Zendaya's character that she's supposedly playing,
right? And the other, you know, Ellen Page, or as she goes by now, Elliot Page. She's supposed to be in the movie.
Yep,
it'll be interesting to see her as a Cyclops. I don't know. just kidding. I have no idea. Who is she playing? Who knows?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's obviously,
be a guy.
Well,
character.
Well, of course it will be. It'll be a male. She'll probably be a soldier in Odysseus's army or something. And of course she's had relationships with Chris Nolan in the past. She was in Inception.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's ever done anything other roles with him, but anyways, another one, John Leguizamo, who's an Hispanic actor. He's in the film apparently, and yeah, it's I'm sure there's others. You know, Matt Damon, I'm okay with him as Odysseus for the most part.
Yeah,
I think it works. It depends on how he plays the character. Tom Holland as Telemachus, like, okay, fine. I think that could work. I like John Bernthal. I think he's a great actor. He's I think he does a good job, so he'd probably be fine. But it baffles me. Like, why you go in this direction? You know, if this movie was made even 10 years ago, this would not be the cast.
Right.
Go look, you know, Troy, the movie Troy, you know, which is like basically a prequel to this. It's, you know, very well casted for the most part. You know, they all fit the time periods, and it all makes sense for to have white, pale-skinned actors playing these Greek and Roman characters.
Yep.
Okay. It makes sense. There's nothing wrong with that. No, who was complaining about it, you know, when Troy came out 20-something years ago? No one was.
Yeah.
And so, like, and no one would have complained about it if The Odyssey came out and it was all a white cast.
Right.
Yeah. Go back to Christopher Nolan movies in the past. Inception. How many black characters are in Inception? I don't think
zero.
I don't think any, as far as I remember.
Yeah,
there's Asian characters, right?
Yeah,
and they play great in their roles and they fit in the story and it works out fine.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it would be wrong to have a black character in the story. No one complained about it.
Yeah.
What?
I haven't watched Oppenheimer, but did he do the same thing with that movie?
I don't think white, so. Like, as far as casting, like,
yeah, I mean, like
characters were
right.
Well, like, I don't know. I think it was mostly whitewashed. So,
yeah,
not whitewashed. But I mean, it was like mostly like white characters.
Yeah.
Well,
as it should have been.
It should have been. And
so I just don't get why he's doing it for this movie. And
right.
I mean, this is like this is huge to be making this movie.
Massive.
And I mean, it's the first time it's been done
on this scale.
And yeah, I mean, to be casting all these different races when they're all supposed to be Greek and Roman.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, what are you doing?
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Anyways, because this movie has potential to be very epic, very grand, beautiful cinematography. That, you know, I love, there are things that I like about Christopher Nolan as far as his artistic approach to film. I like that he films on film. He doesn't do digital. He wants physical film. And he, films in IMAX, was it 70 millimeter, IMAX.
Probably, yeah.
It's, he's very, particular about his filming style, and his movies have a certain style to them that is creative, it's artistic, and I think is often done well. And but then when you factor in he usually has from what I've heard, like, he has mostly creative control over his projects.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to cast all these actors.
Yeah,
for some reason he wants Zendaya to play Athena. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Why?
There's not even like any kind of, I mean, I don't think she's been in anything that he's made. So,
we got Tom Holland, so he had to bring in the girlfriend, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe.
That was his deal.
Well, I feel like that's why she's in Spider-Man. So,
well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Probably the next one. Yeah. It's a package deal for Tom Holland. It's like, I need my girl.
I can see that, I guess, being.
Or she said, I can't be in the movie unless she's in it.
Yeah,
that's probably more like.
I mean, he had to go into a new contract.
So. Yeah, that was probably it. That was Spider-Man. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm interested in seeing the film. I think that it has potential to be good. Besides the casting. I also have other questions, like, is it going to be grounded? Is it going to be fantastical? He likes to ground a lot of his stuff sometimes, sort of. I don't know, because you got Inception, you got Interstellar, which is not a very, it's a science fiction film, basically. What's he going to do with a fantasy film, like the Odyssey, a fantasy story? So who knows? Yeah. We shall see. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the Odyssey?
No. I just want to see what he does. We know what the casting is, so I'm curious what the story is going to be like. And
because there's another tendency that we see a lot with male characters, that you kind of turn them into, washed up, kind of down on life. Men who just are, almost like don't have that hope and that drive, and just done with the world and done with everyone else. And, they need, usually it's a female character to come in and kind of tell them to toughen up or man up or whatever, right, and get talked down to. I don't know if that's going to happen with Odysseus, but it seems like, from what we've seen, is that Matt Damon is playing a little bit of character like that, where he's kind of, down on life and kind of hopeless, and we don't really get that from Odysseus in the book, though he has some of those struggles and some struggles of despair, so right, it'd be interesting to see how they handle that. And I don't know, we shall see.
Yeah, they definitely, it's very common for them to feel like that's like a need for movies and telling a story, is they need that character development or something. But I think about Aragorn the change from the book to the movie.
Yeah.
And kind of the same thing there.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. That reluctant hero. I think that's kind of, that puts a good word, good phrase on it. It's that reluctancy to be the hero. It's a reluctancy for him to go and get home to his family. And what does he say in the trailer? Odysseus, he says, I don't think I can get home or something. I don't know if I'll be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, is he physically prevented by circumstances, or is he struggling with that drive to get up and go and do the hard thing to go on this journey to go home and say,
right,
okay, which way are we going here?
And
we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's the Odyssey. When does it come out? I don't know. July? Or is it the end of the year? I don't even know.
I don't know.
It's coming out this year. You know what else is coming out this year? A Star Wars movie.
Oh yeah.
I think we talked. We might have talked about this last time, but The Mandalorian and Grogu, the worst movie title of all time. Is Grogu still relevant?
No. Star Wars isn't irrelevant. Is
Star Wars irrelevant?
yeah. I don't even know if I'll go and see that in theaters.
Dude, I don't know. I could care less about it. Like, there is a Star Wars movie coming out this year, and I could care less. I'll probably still go see it just to see what they do with it. Mm-hmm. And we'll review it as well. Like, I'll give a review on it.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like, I'm not taking my kids to see it. I'm not taking my family to see it. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be any good. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I know it's, Hollywood with all these, I mean, we say it again and again with all these big, IPs, they just destroy them. They beat them with a stick till there's nothing left.
It's a cancer that spreads.
Yeah.
It's cannibalistic in that it eats itself. Like, Hollywood eats itself alive. Uh-huh. And, whenever it touches a big franchise like Star Wars, it consumes itself until it's a husk of itself until it's nothing left.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. What's also funny is, like, they're supposed to, like, be doing this big grand finale to their Mandalorian or whatever, the Mandalorian film and the
with
Obi-Wan or the Boba Fett show and Ahsoka and everything. So they're gonna do, like, a big Heir to the Empire based off the book Heir to the Empire finale story. It was supposed to be a movie. Dave Filoni is supposed to be directing it and everything. There's reports that it's just going to be a TV series.
Yeah.
Like a short series. So they don't have confidence in themselves. They don't have confidence in the movie. I know they have internal numbers that's saying that, this Mandalorian Grogu is not, we're a little too late. If this came out, like, after season two, even, then, a lot of people would flock to go see it. It would actually probably be a big deal. It's
been years since they released season three.
I
don't know.
Whatever. True.
Like, they should have had this movie ready, like,
right
after that season.
They didn't plan, just like the sequel trilogy, they had no plan. They had no plan for Grogu to be this big.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's just even thinking about, like, what they did with Mandalorian season two and then going to the Boba Fett show and then having two episodes being dedicated to Grogu to Mandalorian Grogu and completely retconning the ending of season two in order to. Make sure that they end up together and then they can do season three. And then now they're doing a movie about just a random story that they went on. Who cares? You have a baby that's continuing to act like a baby and he's going to continue to act like a baby because he doesn't age.
Yeah.
And he's going to eat silly things and make silly noises and everyone's going to be like, "Oh, that's so cute." And then move on. It's like, he was cute for a little bit. Now he's just annoying.
Yeah.
And they're trying to, they think that they're just so clueless. Hollywood's so out of touch. They're so clueless about, like, what they don't understand how dead their brand is. Mm-hmm. They don't understand how fast they killed their brand and what happened, what led to them killing the brand. And they don't understand how to recapture that.
Yeah.
They want the next audience. They thought Grogu was a big hit. Well, they didn't think it was going to be a big hit. They didn't have the toys ready when the season one came out.
Right.
And then it became so popular, and then they're like, "Oh, we got to rush and get all these toys out." And so you saw Grogu toys everywhere.
Yeah.
And then people loved it for, like, a little bit, and then now it's like, no one, who cares?
Yeah.
You don't see kids playing with Grogu toys anymore.
Like, the fatigue hit really quickly.
Very quickly.
There was way too much, way too fast.
Oversaturated Grogu and Baby Yoda everywhere.
Yeah.
Then they give him a name, like Grogu, the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Keep it Baby Yoda. No one cares. Literally no one cares.
Yeah.
so they have to be so particular about these things. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. I'm, as usual, over Star Wars. Used to be the biggest massive fan of Star Wars, and they have another TV. They have a TV show coming out.
What show?
The Darth Maul show.
Oh, is that this year?
Oh, it's like next month.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they have a whole TV show about Darth Maul. It's a sequel to Solo, basically.
Is it animated?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's animated in the Clone Wars. So remember, like Solo, like shows up at the end. Yeah. He's, like ruling the Crimson Dawn, Crimson Sun, whatever.
10 years ago.
Sure. Yeah. And so this is his rise in the underworld, and then he trains an apprentice who probably is going to turn out to be Talon. This is they're pulling a lot of things from George Lucas's sequel trilogy mm-hmm. that he wrote, like the ideas he had for Darth Maul and whatnot. And
yeah,
they're pulling a lot from that, which okay, interesting. I think Maul's he should have died a long time ago. He should have stayed dead. Well, he did die, and then they keep resurrecting him and telling stories about him. But
yeah,
just I think people have
died twice.
I don't think anyone cares. Yeah,
yeah, and then Disney's also kind of switching their reins on the Disney World, Disneyland place.
Oh yeah.
what's it called? Galaxy's Edge, that's what it is. Yeah. They're putting in all the original characters, and like like that would have been a good idea to start with.
you ruin your brand. And then you go back and like, oh, well, no, we'll give you guys what you want now. Okay, after completely, you know, turning people off from Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it makes sense. Good marketing. Yeah. They were so set on making sure everything was set in this singular timeline. So that make sure you can't see this character here because this character doesn't exist in this timeline. And so they're so particular about it. And like, mm-hmm. you can't have Darth Vader showing up. You can't have Leia here, you know, for this very reason and so forth. And then now it's like, okay, well, we'll let Darth Vader come. We'll let Luke come in. And because... Because you can go see there's another part of Disneyland or Disney World where you can go see Darth Vader and them, and that's more popular.
Yeah.
People actually want to go see him. No one wants to go see Rey.
Yeah.
No one wants to go see the weird Disney-fied First Order troops. I hate those helmets are so weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. It's so weird talking about Star Wars now. It's because. Just don't care.
Yeah.
I enjoy the old films. I will always go back to them. And,
yeah. Anything beyond the six movies, it just has such a bad taste in the mouth. And there's just, there's just so much, there's just too much greed, too much corruption, and too much, desire to please the wrong people in Hollywood, and they continue to destroy stories, something that God created to be impactful and to move people, and they're doing the opposite. And so with the way they view the world and it's not entirely surprising that they would destroy these things, but I mean... It's best that they do destroy themselves so that something better can take its place.
Yes.
And we want to see it destroyed, and we want to see a reset and something greater come from it. And we want to see a better film industry, one that does actually glorify the Lord.
Yep. Yeah, let it die.
Yeah.
Let it eat itself alive. Because we just... Whatever, like, they keep feeding these sloppy meals, this mm-hmm. mess, this filth to people, and people eat it up. And but when you keep feeding them filth, they don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And with franchises like Star Wars and whatnot, it's like no one's coming back. You know,
yeah.
Speaking of other franchises, Chronicles of Narnia. Mm-hmm. Talked about. I think we should keep it somewhat updated. But what?
just everything.
Everything.
They're just ruining everything.
Greta Gerwig.
Oh, and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. As in the movie. Yeah. Rings of Power. I was gonna bring up some about that in a second, actually.
Sure you will, yeah.
Greta Gerwig finished the first film of her Chronicles of Narnia endeavor. She's adapting all seven books. She's starting with The Magician's Nephew. So the Genesis story.
I guess I didn't realize that, but
yeah. Started with Magician's Nephew. So we'll see if it's true that Meryl Streep is playing Aslan, playing a androgynous lion.
Yeah.
Female lion, male lion voiced by a female. Who knows? It'll be really interesting to see what they do with that. I just know that Greta's version of Polly is going to be absolutely insufferable. She's going to be. I'm so over this. Like, why? How did Greta get, like, who gave her the rights to do this?
Right.
who gave her this? And you know, and we've talked about it in the past. Like, it's going to be all about rock and roll. It's going to have this modern twist to it, and it's going to, you know, be, you know, it's not going to be. It's going to be set in like the 90s or something. I don't know. It's like, what are we doing here? I'm just so we're. You know, once again, Christians don't own the rights to Narnia, and we gave it away. We said, you know, do what you want with it, and this is what we're getting.
Yeah.
Speaking of another franchise, like I said, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. So it's been reported that season 2's budget was $400 million, which brings a total of for both the first two seasons to $1 billion that they spent. Amazon spent on the Rings of Slop. I'm just flabbergasted at how they spent so much money. I mean, I kind of get it. Like, you know, it's a big property, big franchise, big name to it. You know, of course, people are gonna love it. Yeah, no, it struggled to meet its ratings. There's a niche audience out there that likes it. That's, you know, they love shipping Galadriel and Sauron because there's this complete weirdos that are out there that ship every character that always have to come with someone that someone's got to love and so forth. It's just you want the, you know, this epitome of beauty and femininity in love with the epitome of evil because that's what their sick fantasies are.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I was referencing Hunt for Gollum. Isn't that coming out?
Oh, yeah.
Does that come out this year? Or maybe it's next year?
No, they haven't even started filming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think it's supposed to be next year. We'll see if it does.
Another project that's just kind of, it's just odd that they're making it.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the things you could make for Lord of the Rings,
right?
All the stories that are out there, you make The Hunt for Gollum.
Yeah, a brief, like oh yeah, not even a paragraph of Tolkien's work, and it's like we're gonna expand upon it and make an entire movie out of it.
Entire.
So everyone's been asking for it. So no, what was it like for Aragorn to hunt for Gollum, to find him? And
yeah, well, and they're recasting Aragorn.
Yeah,
for Viggo's younger, like,
way too old,
younger guy. Yep, and Andy Serkis directing and, of course, playing Gollum. But I don't know. It's weird.
I'm curious how the CGI is going to look for Gollum. You know, just because I feel like CGI has just not really gotten better and it just gets oversaturated. They do too much. Like, I'm really curious, like, how it's going to look. It'll probably be good.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting to go back to the Lord of the Rings and watch those movies on their new 4K, and you can definitely see the CGI a lot more.
Stand out. Yeah.
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 But
which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at what point do these studios just say enough? Like, it's not worth it. Like, we're spending all this money, throwing money away at these projects that no one cares about, that no one's interested in. They thought Rings of Power was going to be massive, like the biggest thing ever, and it completely failed. The story is atrocious. They completed completely murdered Tolkien's lore and the entire Second Age of Middle-earth. They took way too many liberties and just created this story that is so unlikable and just a slog to get through. And Galadriel is just insufferable. She is always talking down to everyone. She's apparently the best at everything, and she just acts like a man the entire time. And it's just there's nothing likable about her. There's nothing really ladylike about her. She does not carry any feminine virtue and feminine characteristics. And it's just I'm baffled that they went in the direction they did. No, I shouldn't be surprised, but anyways.
Well, yeah, and then there's War of the Rohirrim as well.
Oh, yeah.
You and I need to just sit down and watch that sometime.
We should. Let's do a live reaction.
Yeah, we'll do. Watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I agree, we should, actually.
Because
neither of us have seen it. I was actually thinking about it this week, because I've been reading Two Towers and just reading about the Rohirrim and, the Battle of Helm's Deep.
The Rohirrim are just so awesome, and just seeing the trailers for that movie and then hearing from all the credible people like just how awful it was, and hearing what the story was about was just depressing.
And honestly, I don't even remember much about it, like what I've heard about it, but we'll just have to see it, and we'll give it a fair shot. But, I think even the animation looks decent. But I don't know. We'll see.
I heard that they had multiple issues with animators, and they had to hire different animators to animate different scenes together. Watching a movie, and then the animation just changes.
Oh, okay.
I think it was timing and stuff like that. They're trying to get it done quicker, or something like that, and I remember when we first saw the teasers for it and seeing the images, is like, wow, this looks incredible, but they basically just hiding
their bag
issues.
Interesting. I feel, and like that's such an issue right now for a lot of Hollywood films, is that they don't give like visual effects artists enough time to do the work. The reason why you look back in like the early 2000s, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Lord of the Rings, even the Narnia films, like you look at like the CGI, I remember like Aslan, like the CGI for Aslan was very articulate, very detailed oriented, like they spent a lot of time, countless hours, making sure they got Aslan perfectly, and he looks great even to today's standards as a CGI lion. It looks great. But you look at like Davy Jones in Pirates of the Caribbean, who's like absolutely perfect as far as like CGI goes. You don't see that anymore, because for one, I think that a lot of visual effects artists in Hollywood aren't that talented anymore. They're not as talented as they used to be.
Right.
Like, and a lot of it was more hands-on back then than it is now. You have computers, you have, AI. Who knows how much AI is being utilized, but for the most part, you don't have as much creativity involved in that process. We also don't give visual effects artists enough time to do the work that they're supposed to do.
Right.
There's timelines, deadlines that they cut. You know, you have parts of movies this is another thing I'm gonna talk about. Like, movies used to take a lot longer to make. A lot of it was technology, but I think a lot of it was because they realized how much work needed to be put into films.
Yeah.
Now they streamline a lot of things and don't put as much time into films.
Oh, yeah. No, that's very true. I remember it would take years sometimes. Mm-hmm. And,
George Lucas, like the prequel movies, like, he gave himself 3 years, I think, between each film.
Yeah.
You know, 3 whole years. Nowadays, what they do for the sequel trilogy is, like, I think, 2 years. It's like, okay, they gave them some time, but they also didn't have any plans going into it, and they just kind of went with, they just kind of did played along as they went and didn't really have any direction or vision. Yeah. But anyways, George Lucas had a vision for the prequels. He had the entire story outlined and figured out from the beginning, and he made sure he incorporated different elements, different pieces, different Easter eggs, or different foreshadowings and whatnot for all 3 films, so that they had a very consistent flow, even have characters, like you know, Dooku was a specific, you know, had different traits that Darth Vader would have, and you know, you had Darth Maul, different traits that Vader had, like different little pieces of things that you connect, that you pull together. It's like, wow, this is actually really brilliant, really thought out. Now, there's a lot of problems with the prequels, and you know, we could talk about that someday, but he planned and he worked. He planned ahead and he put in the work, 3 years or so, to make these films. Yeah. The CGI, he was doing things that people, no one has ever had ever done before when it comes to computer animation and computer generation and visual effects and so far. And but he put the work into it.
So. Yeah, and well, the one example that I can think of modern is actually maybe two, but the Spider-Verse movies. Those movies, I mean, I don't know what's happening with the third one. I don't know.
It's supposed to come out like last year.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to come out 2 years ago. Yeah. But those movies, they actually, like, I mean, it took 3 years to make the first one. It took 3 years to make the second one.
Yeah.
And who knows what the third, I don't know what make, year. I think we're on like year five for this one.
I think there's a lot of other issues involved
with that. Yeah, I think there's just a lot of things they just haven't gone public with. But those first two movies were quite enjoyable, and the animation is incredible on those. I love the animation. It's unique. It was a new especially the first one, it was a new thing. Really awesome.
Now everyone's trying that style and it's just gotten old.
Yeah.
There was another movie, like, it's called Goat. It's
Yeah, that's the same guys that are same animators did that. But yeah, exactly. But that's an example of good movies. They put the time in and had good results. And my guess would be the story creators of those other movies are having issues with Sony. And that's probably why the third one is getting pushed back so much. But then also, I don't necessarily know the timeline for Dune movies, but, I imagine they put quite a bit of time and work into those, because I'm pretty sure it's maybe 4 years between the first one, one.
It was probably about 3 or 4 years.
So, and I'm guessing that's about how long it took to make the first one. I don't know, but I just know that there's that gap between the first and second. So,
and the gap between the second and third, I think, is more along the lines of he just didn't start. Until
he was, well, I remember he was writing the script at the time of the second one ending, and he said, like, I'm not moving forward with making this till I have the script down.
Okay.
And so that kind of shows, like, he cares about the work. And you know, we've talked about, like, we'll see where that goes and what happens there. If where he goes from the second one to the third, but
absolutely. Yeah, it's just interesting to see where things have come and where things are at and what things are like going forward. And yeah, Altwai, do you have anything else to talk about? Anything you think of? Anything you had?
No.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about continue to talk about how crazy Hollywood is. You have actors that are basically, you know, calling for revolution in the streets because of ICE, and you have these privileged actors that are, you know, millionaires that live in their comfy homes that are, oh, literally, I just saw today Ellen Degenerate. She was mocking ICE and calling people to, you know, rebel against ICE, just like yesterday or something. And then today she was spotted shopping for a mansion. Like, you can't make this stuff up. Like, yeah. It's wild. You had Giancarlo Esposito. I don't know how it's pronounced last name.
Benito.
You know, he's, you know, good actor. You know, he's known for his role in Breaking Bad. He's in The Mandalorian. He was literally calling for war in the streets. Like people need to die. Like we need to get out. We need to fight. And just talking about what we need to do, or we're going to lose our country. And he was saying that, he was like speaking in like the first person, like saying like we are. I feel threatened every day. Like, I don't know if I can live in this country anymore and all these things. Like, are you talking about the people that are the officers in the streets that are trying to get rid of rapists and murderers and pedophiles, trying to get them, trying to clean up our streets and trying to cause order where there's complete chaos? Like, are you talking about those agents? Like, are those the ones that we should go out and kill? Like, you know, they're just so delusional. They sit in their comfy homes and then they're fed these lies by the media. And then they go out, and because they have a platform, they feel like they have to speak out. And they have to say all these things about the current event, whatever it is. And, you know, they're so irrelevant. They are adult pretenders. That no one cares about their opinions. But then you have the people that go along with it and that listen to these actors, and they go out in the streets and then they get shot. And they ruin their lives forever because they're fed these lies.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Sorry, it's just. Angers me.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It's just they Hollywood's so out of touch, and these privileged
I mean, they did, like, it was like every A-list actor did like a whole thing for Kamala Harris, you know, a few years ago and there's just always been just these elites that just probably are just getting paid or something, and I'm sure some of them are psycho.
So the next Mark leftist political
Mark Ruffalo point, psycho.
Mark Ruffalo, he is psycho. Apparently Disney's no longer working with him for Marvel. I don't know if that's true, but he's gone off the reservation. But it just baffles me. But, like, these actors, I think some of them do believe it. Like, they do believe that their lives are in danger, and that, like, you know, Giancarlo believes that, you know, any day now an ICE agent's going to knock on his door and take him and his family away and throw him out of the country. Like, they actually believe that. And it baffles my mind. And they spouse this rhetoric, and as they're fed by the media, they spew out these lies, and people grab onto it, and then they go and listen to them. And, you know, you just look at what's going on in Minnesota and just the complete chaos in the streets, and it's anarchy, and something needs to be done. And sadly, as always, nothing will probably be done.
Well, it's just sad that all the people that are speaking out about it are speaking toward the wrong side. We don't have those people speaking out on the right side.
You're not allowed to.
I mean, you aren't. There's blasphemy laws there for sure.
Yep.
And we hope for change in Hollywood and the film industry. And it's needed. 100%.
Yeah, and then they talk about being oppressed and not having the freedom to speak out, or people aren't free to speak their mind. And it's like, you guys are the ones that just like 5 years ago were, you know, canceling anyone that said anything about a certain virus that was negative. Shut up. Anyways, on that note, I think it's about. Do you have anything else?
No.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
Yeah, is there any other movies that you're interested in seeing this year? A couple horror movies. Robert Eggers. No, Egger. Yeah. Or who's the horror director that did like Nosferatu? And
I don't know.
Anyways, you know, most of his movies are full of nudity and sexual imagery and so forth. But he's doing a werewolf movie this year. And I love the period pieces that he does as far as like aesthetically, and I think there's a lot of decent elements in his storytelling and his films that he produces. But but like I said, it's usually filled with garbage. But he's doing a werewolf movie this year, so I'm like, okay, could be interesting. Probably won't be. Probably won't see it. Just be honest there.
Yeah.
They're doing a mummy movie. It's like a modern horror take on the mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Could be interesting. Probably won't be, but could be.
They just released a Dracula movie, which sucked. It comes out in a few days.
Go check out Thumbs Up Movie Reviews.
Yeah.
We should probably plug some stuff here. Thumbs Up Movie Reviews.
Yes.
It's by gives a thumbs up, thumbs down to any given movie. He has a vast list of movies he's done. Go mm-hmm. support him on all the socials.
Yep.
And check those out.
Yeah. And yeah,
recommend or request a movie, he'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then of course we have our Patreon, best way to support us, and we've got all our stuff there, all our movies, all our TV shows, all our podcasts, a lot of stuff for What Is Christian Nationalism. A lot of we'll have, you know, behind the scenes stuff coming out soon, and we have the full interviews there, and but yeah, that's kind of our hub for all our stuff and the best way to support us and in what we're doing. And everything's ad free, of course. Yeah. Anything else?
I think that was it. Does Zane, is there any other movies? I don't think so.
No. Not really.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, we'll be picking up some, starting doing some mini reviews again on our Patreon as well, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we have our Cigars and Cinema there as well. Yep.
We have our After Hours show. Please go check that out. Support us there. That one's fun, where we just sit back and enjoy a good cigar and mm-hmm. rank some movies, talk about movies.
Yep.
It's all about movies.
Yep.
You know,
mostly older movies, good movies that we like.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool. All right.
You want to close this out?
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching, we're on YouTube too. If you're just listening,
head like, to YouTube, comment, subscribe,
like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff.
Hit the notification bell.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and just continue to join us every other week, every other Saturday for our lives. And we'll be releasing everything, one episode of our podcast every Saturday, but our live streams are every other week. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed. And remember to glorify God and watch good movies. We're out. Bye.
Bye.
Cool. End stream. There we go. Awesome.